Weird news today. Oswald Chambers' devotional, January 29th, has this title right here. It's long. And I open it up, it says, this is the title of today's devotional. But it is hardly credible that one could be so positively ignorant. I'm not joking. That's what it says right here. That's my devotional. So I'm not sure what you're in for, but here we go. When I said yes to speaking to this, I heard a song on the radio, and it said, give me words to speak, don't let my spirit sleep. I don't have anything worth saying, but I know that I owe you my life. And so, here I am. I want to talk to you today, and I want to use some sports analogies, another weird thing. So go with me on this one. And we're talking out of Hebrews, and what I want to say, and we'll see if I can get to it, in one sentence is, access to the presence of God is what we're offered in this, in the whole book. It's a beautifully written book, where we do not hear his justice prosecute us, but we hear his love plead for us. That was my one sentence that I'm kind of going. And so here we go. When my oldest daughter, Brianna, who has now graduated from college, can we hear a whoop, 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 whoop? Yeah, thank you. That's from you, Amy Isom. When she's graduated, when she played basketball in high school, I would go to these tournaments, and she played with Katie Smith. So I would go, and Jeff Smith would be at many of those games, and I would try to position myself right on the row, right below him, so I could be kind of at his knee learning. And what I learned was that I have a loud voice and no knowledge of the game. So I would listen to what Jeff would yell, and then I would mimic the same thing. So he'd say, box out! And I'd go, box out! He never did this. Touchdown! I might have done that once or twice. And then he didn't mind if I would mimic him after that. It had great motion. You can't do that with a basket. So touchdown worked really well for me. So I would sit by Jeff, and whatever he'd yell, I would yell. And I noticed that when he yelled box out, that I wanted to learn what I was saying. So what I think we were saying when we yelled box out was this. Okay, get in there. You're near the basket. Spread wide. Get your elbows going. Throw them enough to get those vultures off your back, but not enough to get a foul. Because then when you're open, you can take a shot or you can pass it to your teammate. And then you can make a goal unit basket and score one for our team, and we might possibly win. Was that it? So much more efficiently said, box out, right? Box out goes a lot faster. Hold that thought. Now, another term that I learned that's kind of a sportsy term, it's kind of an attitude term, is bring it, right? You know, we used that for a theme last fall, and I loved it because it has a little sass to it, but it was also a very wonderful theme. We said bring it, and we had crosses, and we would bring the things that we needed to bring, hurts or doubts or questions or praise or hopes or dreams that were dashed and broken. And we brought them and we could put them on the cross because God invites us to bring it, right? You still remember this. God wants us to bring it. That's what we're doing today. We're bringing it. And what I think I might have done last fall was focus too much on what I had to bring. And I want to say, let's stop for a minute right there at that cross. And instead of just bringing the yucks and dumping them and walking away, I think we're called to bring it and then hang out. Because this cross where we bring our stuff is a place of transformation. It's the only place that yucky stuff we have, those pains that we have, are ever going to get healed or mended or directed. And so if any of you know this church, you know that you're welcome here. You are welcome to bring it today, this week, moment by moment, bring it. But don't leave too soon, because I think what we miss when we go away too soon is we forget that God's going to bring it too. And so we have to wait and see what God's going to do with what we've got. So we're bringing it. I'm bringing my "you cannot be so positively ignorant," and bringing it right here for your listening pleasures today. In August, third sort of sportsy analogy, which is ironic because I really am, believe it or not, not an athlete. But in August, I do love to do stuff. I really do. So in August, to kick off my birthday season. See, because you all can have your birthdays, but this is a year that deserves a season for me. So I was kicking off my birthday season. The actual birthday is September 20th. The season is still open because Connie Biskey told me she just found my birthday present, so I haven't received it. Season open. Still accepting gifts and well wishes. So we decided to kick it off in August, and after Reese and I had been at camp for a couple weeks in Wyoming, Steve came out, and we went down to Estes Park, Colorado, and we went whitewater rafting with some friends of ours at that frail old age that I had reached. And so we're sitting around, and we have to get instructions for this whitewater rafting. Has anybody ever been whitewater rafting? You know? Yeah. Okay. So there you go. One, two. So they have to instruct you. This is a legally responsible thing to do. And they say things to you like, "So in case you find yourself under the raft," at which point you go, "I don't really want to do this anymore." not sounding as much. Okay. But that's like you can use your flotation device in your 747 as a, you know what I mean, your seat is a flotation. You don't really know. So you just go, okay, whatever. If your raft is on top of you, what you have to do is you pick a direction and you go. And you can't see the edge, and that's okay. You pick a direction and you stick with it. All right? So because the raft is 14 feet long at its longest, and so the most you've got to go is like 14 feet. Pick a direction and go. All right, bonus. So we get in for our three-hour tour, and we're going, and we're paddling along. We do some fun stuff, and then we get to this point where our our guide says, "Now, if we're going to flip, this is the rapids where we're going to do it." And there is up ahead of us a rock like the size of that wall right there. And everything's going right toward it. And she says, "Now, if I yell high side," do you know what high side is? "If I yell high side, that means that we've hit that rock and the raft, instead of being like this, is going to start climbing up that rock because the water is going to be pushing it and it'll eventually flip over. And so if we yell high side, everybody in the raft has to climb up to the high side of the raft in hopes that you will push it back down into the water, flop back miraculously into the raft, and continue." This is good to know, but we're confident. I mean, we do the little cheer, hit the paddle, high five, you know what I mean? We're going. About that moment, we hit a little rock, and it bumps me off my crack-on-crack position. Now, yes, it is what it sounds like. Where that inflated seat, you know, the crossbar of the raft meets the perimeter of the raft, there is a crack where they meet. And to sit properly and safely so that you can get your feet in those little, you know, sleeves where that holds you in, you put your crack on that crack and you keep it there. I know, it's funny. Go ahead, lighten up. God made it. He just, you know, they just told me where to put it for that moment. So I bump off, and I'm down, and my feet are in, but I'm down in the raft, and we're in the rapids, and we're heading toward the wall, and she yells, "Back paddle!" And so I'm, like, down in there trying to back paddle, but probably just splashing the person in front of me ineffectively, and I'm trying to back paddle, and, you know, there we are. She goes, "High side! Oh, my gosh, we have to do this!" So we start climbing up, and I see kids dumping, and Reese and I are in the same raft, and I don't know where he is, but I'm hanging on. I get a hold of something up, and I'm like, in the movies, I should just swing my legs and be up there. And this was being filmed, we found out later. But that little piece did not work, and my feet just, I'm hanging there, and I'm like, I got nothing. And I realize that it feels like the raft is starting to come over, and I think, I'm sunk, and the best thing I can do right now is just let go. And so I let go, and I fall into this glacier river. And I was right, and I love to be right most of the time. Except what I was right about is that it was my weight kind of pulling the raft over. And as soon as I let go, the raft came back down. And it was on top of me, just like they said. And I discovered that I don't have gills. So I'm under, and I think very calmly, this is great, because if I die, I know that my last thoughts were pretty, pretty together. And I have this thought, okay, it's okay, because if I die, my last thoughts were just this. Pick a direction, and even if I can't see it, I'm going to go. And I'm just going to go faithfully and hopefully toward the edge that I don't know where it is. I'm just going to keep going. And before I know it, faster than it took me to tell you all this, I am up and bobbing around and mourning the loss of my shoe because I love those shoes. And then, yay, somebody found it. We have a shoe. And looking for Reese and frantically, where's Reese? And they're yelling, ma'am, grab the rope. Ma'am, grab the rope. And I think there must be somebody else in the river too. Where are they? I'll help them. And then I realize they are yelling at me. And even though it's my birthday season, I am not that old. And you should not be calling me ma'am. And so I'm like, I'm not that old. And I'm grabbing the rope, and they're pulling me in. Reese is okay. I'm okay, too. Yes, I'm okay. He's a little worried look here. They pull me in, and then we start rehearsing, you know, all the excitement of, you know, we were flipping, and then we weren't, and then we did. And, you know, it was all very exciting. And it's a while later that I'm thinking back about that experience, and I realize that it is a great analogy for where I've been the last couple years. I've been under this raft where I just can't, I don't know which direction to go. And it feels kind of dark and murky. And it makes sense. I mean, it started at a retreat a couple years before that. We had taken one of those personality tests, and then we had a grid out on the floor, and when you find out if you're a, you know, ISTP or a JERK or whatever, you know. And Harley Blake was doing this, and he said, okay, now, you know, when I call out this, you go stand physically. Instead of graphing it on a paper, you go over. So are you in, you know, do you like time alone? Yes, I do. And do you like time with people? Yes, I do. And I realize that I was standing in the middle. Okay, that's okay, because, you know, I look like an extrovert. I know I can, you know, do introverty things. Visionary, yes, but do you like details? Oh, yes, and I realized everything that we did landed me right in the middle. It wasn't black and it wasn't white, it was just gray. And it wasn't hot or it wasn't cold, it was just lukewarm. And it just hooked me. It hooked me right in the gut, and it just felt like a weight. So I'd go to a store, and I'd go, do I want a wrap or do I sandwich? I don't know, because I'm gray, and I can't decide. I'm spew me out. It was weird. It just was this weight that I didn't like the feeling of. But it's what happened. And that's okay to live with, because I was doing good things, you know? But here's what I woke up with. Several months later, that had just been kind of dragging along with me. And instead of waking up to the sound of a to-do list, which I often wake up with a to-do list, do you do that? Does it usually have your husband's name at the top of that? I'll wake up with my to-do list, or sometimes the remnant of a song, or sometimes just groaning. But the morning that I woke up, and I heard this word leaving my mind, worthless. And I was surprised. I mean, I was surprised. I wasn't in despair. I just went, oh, that's what that gray has been feeling like, worthless. And it's true. I was in Africa a year ago, but I'm not a medical person. I didn't really get to help somebody, really. I'm a pastor's wife, and I can't play the piano. It's been this distracting weight. It's been hanging on to me. It's kept my eyes moving from side to side. It's kept me going in one way and then maybe going in another and another. And that's when I read this. And I want you to hear it too, because maybe you feel like you've been under a raft. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. See to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily. Don't just notice Jesus. It says, fix your thoughts on him. Consider it. Consider the lilies of the field. Don't glance at them. Look at them, because they are beautiful. They are beautiful, and they've grown there in this place, and they're perfect and gentle. And God has provided everything that they need, and they did not toil or worry. Consider that. Learn the lesson that's deep down. Think about it for a while. Ponder it. Don't just flick a glance. If I work that hard on something, you darn well better take notice of it. Consider them. Glances are inadequate. Concentration is required. Frantic busyness is not the helpful thing in this scenario. And so one of the ways I want to share with you, one of the ways that I've tried to fix my thoughts on Jesus, and maybe you need just a specific thing, a devotional, not one that is entitled about ridiculous things like that. But one of the things I do is I journal. It's a wonderful life. I did not feel that when I bought this. This was a statement of faith. It is a wonderful life. And so this has been the process. You can journal. You can write prayers out. Did you see the help? You know, this lady wrote out her prayers, and it became this wonderful story. Read scripture. Read the book. If Jesus is the imprint, the glory of God, if he is like the soft wax where the king puts his seal on the wax, and that's Jesus, get to know him. If you say, I believe in God, show up and get to know him. Spend time in your Bible. Come to worship. Teach your children how to be faithful in learning at home and learning at church and being a light. So you can journal. You can read scripture and then write down what you think you heard. On the long days where I have enough time, I can do that. I'll read scripture. I'll write down what I think I heard, what I read, an insight that I got, a question that I have. And then you can take something like devotional. You can do I feel like I'm repeating Tim Sipka from Sunday school, but really, I had this plan before Sunday school this morning. You can take a commentary. This is one from Barclay on the book of Hebrews. And I had started through this, which is where all this came from. After you've read your scripture and you've thought about it yourself, read and see what these people who have studied it more than you have to say. See if there's an insight that he has. Here's an insight that he has about this particular scripture. He says, when we look at Jesus, when we fix our thoughts on Jesus, what do we see? The scripture tells us we see a high priest and an apostle. And here's one little piece of it. An apostle, he likens to an ambassador. And an ambassador is someone who was sent out with all of the king's authority and wisdom and power. And when we look at Jesus, we see an ambassador. There was an ambassador named Pompilius. He was sent to the border of Egypt by the Roman emperor. He was sent there to meet King Epiphanes, who was from Syria, and he was coming up to invade Egypt. So the king of Syria is coming to invade Egypt. The Roman emperor hears about it. He sends his ambassador, fully authorized to make decisions on behalf of the emperor. And he comes up to, they knew each other from before, and he comes up to the king of Syria, and he says, hey, how you doing? Good, how you doing? Glad handing going on. How's the weather down in Syria? It's good, it's good. Yeah, I understand that you're thinking about invading Egypt. might be why we're here at the border. I just came to tell you that the emperor does not want this to happen. And King Epiphanes says, I'll consider that. Which means, really, when your mom says, hey, mom, can I do this? And she says, I'll think about it or I'll consider it. What's she really saying? No. I'm not going to really think about that. Are you joking me? It's not going to happen, is it, Nate? It's just not going to happen. Absolutely not. I could just, Nate Cushion is back there going, that's the truth. I'll consider it, he says. And so, Ambassador Pompilius takes a stick and draws a circle around the king of Syria and says, you consider it, but you make your decision before you step out of this circle. And then Pompilius would know how to respond to his decision. I find that very interesting. Because when you think about that, Jesus came as a man without an army, but we came with all of God's grace and mercy and justice and knowledge and power. He came. And he offered the voice of God, and he said, I have a life of blessings for you with me in your life more than without me. But it requires trust. And it requires obedience. And these are not easy things for us. And I think that Jesus draws a line around us. And I think the name of that line is today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't let your heart get hard. Today. Today's your time frame. Today is your deadline, because when evening comes and you have a hard heart, that's one day you're never going to get back, that you can live in trust and obedience and love. Today's your deadline, because that's one more day, if you go to bed with a hard heart, that you are a poor parent. And you could be changing that. It's one more day that you're rebellious nature brings pain to yourself and pain to others. It's one more day that you could be swallowed by guilt and sin that you don't have to be. It's one more day to ignore your own thirsty, dehydrated soul. That's today. Or consider this. Decide. Perhaps this is the day that you're going to hear his voice and you're going to fix your mind and your thoughts and your heart on Jesus. And you're going to work your way faithfully toward life and breath. Perhaps this is the day that your soft heart will allow you to forgive your parents, your neighbor, your kids. Perhaps this is the day that you mend your marriage or you realize and admit how your harsh words brutalize your family. Perhaps this is the day. Today you decide, I'm not stepping out of this circle with a hard heart. Perhaps this is the day that we will seriously consider encouraging one another. Last December, I was in Nashville. I was really glad to be there. My friend Lynn from Phoenix lives there now, and I'm driving my parents back from Georgia. And I told her about this waking up with that whisper in my head, that worthless, and how that was just, it was this peripheral distraction to me, and it had been there for a long time. And she said, oh, worthless. So you're like one of those little sparrows that they could buy two for a penny or something like that, you know, that weren't worth anything to anybody? Yeah. Lynn, that's guess what I'm saying. Thanks. Was that supposed to be encouragement? She goes, no, listen. Do you remember people would have to go to worship and they would have to offer a sacrifice? But when the poor would come, they wouldn't have anything to give and they would get to the temple, and this is the scenario for where Jesus drove out the money changers. Do you remember that? It was okay. They were providing a service, but when they started robbing the people is when Jesus got mad. But in the good part of it, when people would show up and they want to offer a sacrifice, they'd have to buy something. And the poor people could buy for like a penny, two sparrows. They could get two. And then they could go in and offer their sacrifice and worship in the way that was meaningful to them and brought them into the presence of God. A sparrow did that. She said, "Oh, you're like a sparrow, like that." And I said, "Absolutely. I sure am. I'm just pressed under. And I don't really have anything to bring because, well, I can't organize the Christian Ed Department, but Chris Kimmler can. I'd drown organizing his kids. But Chris Sipka and Roxanne have done it. They won't let me lead a group with kids. They won't let me be with them, but I'm a bouncer at his kids. And I can lead songs and make big hearts while I sing. And I'm going to show up, by golly, and I'm going to do my little sparrow best. Because if I'm going to be a sparrow, I'm just going to look at that worthless word, and I'm going to embrace it, I'm going to hang on to it, and I'm going to walk right here to the cross where God said to bring it, and I'm going to say, all right, if you made me a sparrow when I wanted to be an ox kind of sacrifice for you, then you better bring it. You better bring it and change it and transform it. Because I need to go from worth less to worthwhile. It's what I want, and I think it's what you want from me. And I think when I was worried too much about what I was bringing, I forgot to look that God could do that. I can't preach every week. This is exhausting. I can't plan a worship service. I can lead, but clearly I'm not a musician. I can't do great pieces of art, but I know people who can do all these things. But I can help. I can help. I just can put one hopeful little sparrow wing in front of the other. And I'm either going to help in my little sparrow way, or God's not going to be glorified. I'm called to join my life to God's love for the world. That's what I'm called to do. And I've been disappointed that I haven't been able to do it this way, but I've been called to do it this way. And I'm called to do this with you. I'm called to do it with you right here in Alma, Michigan. I'm called to be a sparrow and let God change my life and encourage you. And I need you to encourage me too. Because when I'm down in the raft and God yells back paddle, if I can't get it, I need your help. And I'm going to back paddle with you for all it's worth. So I get to decide which perspective I'm going to live out of. Am I going to be worthwhile or worthless? That choice came to me the other day at aerobics. I've been going since the first month that we lived here. First month. 12 years of aerobics, friends. You better find a different form of exercise. No, I'm just joking. That's good. It's great. And I look, and there's a lady behind me, and I said, "I don't know you. Are you new?" And she goes, "Yeah, it's my first time." And I said, "That's great. How are you doing?" And she goes, "I'm a little lost." And I said, "Yeah, I've been doing it for 12 years. I'm a little lost, too." She goes, "No, it's okay, because I'm just following you." And I felt this little puff of pride, kind of, "Oh, you are." And then she finished her sentence, and she said, "Yeah. You know, when I look up there, Kathy is just so full of energy and jumping around and doing all this stuff. I just cannot follow that. But you, you I can hang with." I just went, "Thanks." Okay. I'll do aerobics like this now. That's okay, because I'm just going to embrace it. I'm a sparrow, and I helped her to do what she needed to do right then. Yay, God. Yay, God, for that moment. Thank you for the perspective and the eyes to see that. When I was in Indiana recently, I have a bonus parents. They are called Yaya and Papu. It's Greek for grandma and grandpa. And they live in Anderson, Indiana, and I went to see Papu. Sage and I went to see him, and we were getting ready to leave. He's cracked a vertebrae. He's 86. He's cracked a vertebrae. He's in a wheelchair when he's not in bed. He doesn't really carry on conversations anymore, doesn't control his bladder well. He's a man who I think if you're going to feel like you're under the raft, that might be the guy who deserves to feel under the raft. So we wheeled him out, and Yaya said, "Honey, the girls are going to leave now. You want to pray for him?" And before I could bow my head and close my eyes, he grabbed our little hands, and he closed his eyes and goes, "Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you. We can't thank you enough because you are so good to us." It's the most words I'd heard him speak the whole day. When he was called to prayer to pray for me, he thanked God for how good he is. That man who can barely move threw me a line and pulled me into shore because he's okay with being a sparrow too. I'm so thankful for him. I've been under a raft, and maybe you have too. And the only way we're going to get out from under this raft is to fix our eyes on Jesus and faithfully work our way toward the goal that he has set before us. We have to remind each other. We have to sit crack on crack and paddle in this lifeboat that we're in together. We have to box out a place to read scripture. How are you going to know Jesus? How do you acknowledge God and not know him? Because Jesus is the face of God, so you've got to get to know Jesus, and you've got to fix your eyes and give him more than a casual glance every now and then. Box out a place to read your scripture. Box out a time for Sunday school. Box out a group that will encourage you. Box out time for the things that are going to nurture you. Make the time. Box it out. There's the choice in there. Study in a small group. Tell your struggle to somebody else. Hear somebody else's struggle. Live out the priorities that you speak. We share in the heavenly calling, so let's fix our eyes and thoughts and hearts on Jesus, whom we confess. Let us not endure sin and deceitfulness, little words that whisper through your brain like worthless, that turn us away from the living God to our heart, or our hearts will harden. Let us hear his voice and hold firmly to the end as we share in Christ. And let's do it today. Let's do it today and today and today, as long as it's God's day. We're going to take communion here in just a little bit. And maybe this is the day that you need to just start this journey with God. But we don't have to come to the altar or pray where you are or talk to somebody just when we're becoming a Christian. This is a process that God leads us on. And he hasn't abandoned you if you feel under the raft. He's given you a way out. He's given you eyes to see and wings to flutter with. If you want to pray or ask somebody to come and pray with you during communion when they're going by, just stop if you want. But tell somebody. Talk to somebody. Because today is our deadline. This is a day you never get back. So box out time to live for the Lord. Will you pray with me? Bring it, God. What you've allowed us to bring to you, would you now transform it and make it what you want us to have or to be? Would you bring on your plan and your kingdom? Would you make it clear to us what is yours and what is not, and teach us to box out not you, but any obstacle that presses in on us and pushes us away from you? Teach us to box out and make a space of time for you, for how will we trust you if we don't know you? Show us where to throw our elbows and when to pass. Make our purpose to serve you and not ourselves. Teach us to worship. Teach us to serve. Check our pride and enable us to make a good shot. Go team. Go God. Amen.